Welcome to another Kingdom of God studies that we're doing. I'm preaching this series of messages. This is message number 43. We're in the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation right now. We're talking about the apocalypse and the Kingdom of God. We have studied the church age. We studied all the way from eternity past through all the ages. We've come down to the church age. We're now in the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation. We're in the middle of the tribulation period right here in the what we call Tribulation the Great. The Antichrist has come on the scene, which many people believe today, and it's of my opinion also that many of the references, as people have interpreted from Russia, and Gog and Magog, Tubal, Meshach, and all those are actually not Russia at all, but it's Islamic countries. If you study Islamic eschatology and biblical eschatology, you will see a parallel juxtaposition. What is good in the Quran is evil in the Bible. What is bad in the Quran is good in the Bible. We talked about the Mahdi, the Imam Mahdi, showing up. He was 40 years old, the Quran says. He will come as a direct descendant of Muhammad. The Bible says that the Antichrist will be literally a son of Satan himself. We know that the beast has come on the scene. The beast is going to mark, the beast of the book of Revelation is going to mark all of those that are Satan's on their forehead, on their arms, with his statement of faith, or his name, or his benediction, whatever you want to call it, his declaration of faith. And, of course, Islam's declaration of faith is actually blasphemy, according to the Bible and biblical sources. It says there is no God but Allah. The God of Allah and the God of the Bible are two opposites. The Islam says they're a peaceful religion, but and so, of course, Obama says they're a peaceful religion. George Bush says they're a peaceful religion. All these people, political leaders, say it's a peaceful religion. Hillary Clinton says it's a peaceful religion. The only time it's a peaceful religion is when you surrender. Islam means to surrender, to do obeisance to. Muhammad, when he was in Mecca, he came out with these peaceful verses to begin with. Once he moved to Medina, he went from being a prophet to a warlord, even though he was still a prophet among his people, but he became a warlord. He took after Catholicism. Catholicism killed between 50 and 100 million people through this period of time right here. Islam has killed 270 million people and going strong all the time. If Catholicism was still in power, if Calvin was still in power, Luther was still in power, all of these state church religions kill people. They kill people. They did kill people. The Bible teaches separation from church and state except in the period of time that we're going to go over here into the millennium. And there is when the state and the church, or the state and Israel, which Israel is go back onto the, it'll come back. Israel will rise again. Israel in the seventh chapter of book of Revelation here, we're going to find out they're going to be numbered according to their tribes. There are going to be at least 144,000 of the Jews saved. And there will be many Gentiles saved also. I'd like to read some things to you from Spyro Zodiotis from his Greek-Hebrew study Bible. 7:1 through 17. This contains the parenthetical portion between the sixth and the seventh seals, mentioning two distinct groups, 144,000, which are sealed, are from the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, and this does not mean that that number of Israelites who will be saved will be limited to 144,000. Rather, it refers to 12,000 of these out of each tribe, saved from the wrath of Satan and the Antichrist. If the Antichrist is the Mahdi, we know that the Bible teaches that Jesus is going to come back and rapture his church right here, and that during this period of time, right here in the middle of the week, he is going to save Israel by great catastrophic natural occurrences in the earth. He's going to come back, and we're going to have the sheep and the goat nations. We're going to have the bad fish and the good fish, and we're going to have the tares and the wheat separated. Only those people that are saved during this period of time will go into the millennium. No lost people will go into the millennium. If you believe in the midweek rapture, you got people, the midweek rapture, you got people here that can be saved from here to there. If you're a post-tribulation rapturist, you got problems. You have no people to the people the millennial reign with in their physical bodies, because if the rapture takes place here, all the saved are going to be raptured. Who's going to people the millennial kingdom? Which Jews? Which Gentiles? Are going to be Gentiles and Jews, and they're at both the same time. The Mahdi is going to have the help of the beast, which we've talked about before. He's a monstrosity-looking thing with the head of a bull, the horns of a stag, the eyes of a pig, the ears of an elephant, the neck of an ostrich, the body and chest of a lion, the legs of a camel, the color of a leopard or tiger, the tail of a ram, which is a big fat tail back in those periods of time, and the legs of a camel, and the joints of his legs are 20 feet apart. He's going to be very big. And he's going to mark all of those that believe in true Islam with a mark of the name. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. That's what the jihadists have on their heads and on their arms today, the same badges that they wear as ones they're going to be marked with there. It says that the beast is going to, and the beast is a political system. Islam is a political system with a religion. The beast is the head of that, one of the heads of that system. We have the Mahdi, the Imam Mahdi, the 12th Imam, which is the leader, a reluctant leader, which he will go out. The beast is going to come out of Arabia in the desert near Mecca. And then we have Jesus of Islam. Jesus of Islam is going to come back and help the Mahdi kill all the Jews. Then he's going to kill all the Christians and break the cross. Christianity is going to be kaput. And then he says he's going to kill all the swine. So we have the unholy trinity there. The Bible says we have the beast, the false prophet, and the Antichrist. There is Islam's idea of the Antichrist in juxtaposition with the Bible. What the Bible says is evil, Islam says is good. What the Bible says is good, Islam says is extreme evil. The Bible says that Jesus is the Son of God, God the Son, Jehovah the Old Testament. Islam says that he is not the Son of God. It says there is no God but Allah, and he has no companions. Yes, Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary, but he was not the Son of God. He did miracles all right, all kinds of counterfeit miracles they have there. When he was a child, Jesus didn't do a miracle until he was 30 years old to prove he was his messianic godship of this earth. Islam says he did not die on the cross. The Bible says he did. Islam says it's blasphemy that he died on the cross. They say that Judas died on the cross, or somebody took his place, and that Allah made him look like Jesus. That Jesus was taken up into heaven. That Jesus is going to send back. The Mahdi is going to rule for 7 years. The beast will help him kill and subdue the earth and bring in the last caliphate. Jesus will come at the end and finish off all of the Jews and finish off all the Christians. And he will reign for 40 years. This is Islam's idea of eschatology, of the apocalypse. It says a great multitude, without naming the exact number, from all nations, as distinct from the nation of Israel, will also be saved. These are described as the ones who came out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 7:14. Now let's go. I'll be reading and translating to you from the book of Revelation, from the Greek text. I wrote a interlinear and translation of the book of Revelation and commentary in 1980. I turned it in for my doctor of Bible languages thesis. Metatuto is what it says. After this, 7 and verse 1. 7 and verse 1. Again, Revelation 7 and 1. And after this I saw four angels having stood upon the four corners of the earth. Now, we don't have four corners in the earth. We're talking about four directions. North, south, east, and west. Holding the four winds of the earth. The winds from all four directions. What we have here is what I entitled dead calm. Dead calm. Matthew 24:31, Daniel 7 and 2, and Zechariah 6 and 5 correspond to this. It's dead still and dead calm, and the earth stands still. Seven and 1b. Not that it might blow wind upon the earth, neither upon the sea, neither upon any tree. Now, the church was the salt of the earth, is my comment here. And the work of the Holy Spirit in that administration was done. But in the Old Testament, people were saved also by the conviction of the Holy Spirit before Pentecost. Now, the church didn't start at Pentecost. The church was empowered by the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. The church had apostles in it. The church had baptized. The church had the Lord's Supper. It had a treasurer in it that went to Kabuit. It had a clerk. It baptized many people. So the Holy Spirit is still working and saving myriads of souls during the tribulation period. The work of the Holy Spirit during the church age held back the works of Satan during that age. Yes, there will be many people, Jews and Gentiles, saved during the tribulation period. Many erring that don't believe people will be saved during the tribulation period. Many people erring that did not believe before the rapture are saved during the tribulation period. Here is the answer to many people's questions. I was raised up in Pentecostal churches, and they didn't think anybody was going to be saved during the tribulation period at all. Spiral Zotiotis, in error, I do believe, says that no one that has heard the gospel during the church age is ever going to be saved during the tribulation period. I totally disagree with him. The Bible says, as in the days of Noah, in 2 Peter, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. In the days of Noah, people believed on the outside of the ark. There were many people saved, according to Peter, outside of the ark, after it started raining, but they didn't get saved. They died. In the tribulation period, a few people will make it to the end, but 5 out of every 6 people in the world are going to die, and 2 out of every 3 Jews are going to die. Time we get to the middle of the week, the middle of the tribulation period, that's 3.5 years, a lot of people are going to be dead laying around. 7 and 2. And I saw another angel, another angelon, coming up from the rising of the sun, from the rising of the sun, and that's east, having the seal of God, the living God. And he cried out with a voice, Megale, great, to the four angels to whom it was given to them to harm the earth and the sea. Now, four angels are going to do a lot of harm to the earth during this time. Many people believe these are demonic angels. These are, well, not demonic. Demonics are fallen spirits. These are fallen angels. Many people believe. Sometimes people say that, well, these are angels that God sent out to harm the earth. I believe it is Satan's angels that are harming the earth. The bottomless pit was opened up and we got evil angels all over. We got all kinds of things which we're going to see in the future. 7 and verse 3. God is going to protect His. And saying not ye may harm or judge or disperse judgment upon the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, until we may seal. Look at this. We may seal. That's the subjunctive mode. how do these people seal? Their people are saved because they had volition. They had the right of what God, when God made man, he made in him in his sovereign image, the image of the Father. He made him in the image of the Holy Spirit, in his shadow casting likeness, in his blood flowing likeness, and in his sovereign likeness of the Father. That we may seal the one slaves of the God of us upon the foreheads of them. Ezekiel 9:4-6. And I heard the number, the arithmon, the number of the ones having been sealed, 144,000. Having been sealed out of every tribe, phileas, of the sons of the heirs of Israel. Now let's get in here in verse 7 and verse 5. Out of the tribe of Yehuda. Yehuda is the name in Hebrew for Judah. Now Judah is means the praise of Jehovah. He's the fourth son of Jacob by Leah. And his name means praise Jehovah. 12,000 having been sealed. Out of the phileas, out of the tribe of Reuben. Reuben is the oldest son of Leah and Jacob. Reuben means see a son. Out of the tribe of Reuben, Genesis 39:32 is where he was born, 12,000. And out of the tribe of Gad. Now Gad means seer or lot or fortune. It's Jacob's seventh son, the firstborn of Zilpah. Out of Gad, 12,000. Now God is going to protect, elect, and seal all of these people. Israel and Egypt during the plagues were kept safe. God is going to keep his people safe again. God saved the remnant of Israel even during the captivity of Babylon, of Assyria. The nation of Israel again, after 1900 years, was dispersed. And now it's gathered again into their land, the land of Palestine, the land of Canaan. Canaan, by the way, means what, Marilyn? You remember what Canaan means? Canaan means possession or gotten. And then verse number 6, Revelation 7:6, sealing of the tribes. Now the tribe of Asher. Asher means happy. He's the eighth son of Jacob and the second son of Zilpah, Leah's maid. Genesis 30 and verse 13 was where he's born. 12,000 out of the tribe of Naphtali. Naphtali means wrestling. This is a struggling. He's the sixth son of Jacob and the second son of Bilhah, Rachel's maid. Genesis 30 and verse 8 where he's born. And 12,000 out of the tribe of Manasseh. Manasseh means the causing to forget. This is the oldest son of Joseph. Genesis 41:51. 12,000. 7 and verse 7. And out of the tribe of Simeon. Simeon means one who hears. Simeon and Simon in the New Testament are the same name. One who hears. The second son of Jacob by Leah. Genesis 29 and verse 33. 12,000. And out of the tribe of Levi, or Lewi is how it is pronounced in Hebrew, Lewi. Out of the tribe of Lewi, which means joined. Joined. Leah said, that now my husband will be joined unto me because he will love me. The third son of Jacob by Leah. Genesis 29 and verse 34. 12,000. Leah's children, by the way, were the spiritual leaders and the messianic tribe of Judah coming out of Leah. Out of the tribe of Issachar, and this means reward and hire, because Leah paid to have Jacob sleep with her. And she conceived this child, Issachar. the ninth son of Jacob, the fifth son of Leah. Not one word is recorded about Issachar after his birth in 1746 B.C. 12,000. Now, remember that Leah's children are the ones that would take care of the tabernacle. They were the spiritual leaders of Israel. 7 and verse 8. And out of the tribe of Zebulun, now these are tribes, okay? These are the tribes of Israel. God knows who they are. They may not know who they are, but God does. Zebulun means dwelling. He's the 10th son of Jacob and the 6th son of Leah. Zebulun. 12,000. And out of the tribe of Joseph, now Joseph is put down here. Joseph means to increase, to abound, to increase. The 11th son of Jacob and the 1st son of Rachel, the only woman that he really loved. This was his wife that he wanted. He only wanted one wife. He ended up with 4 of them. This is the one that he wanted to marry. Genesis 30 and verse 24. Out of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. Now, if you look here, the tribe of Dan is left out. For whatever reason. I won't go into that right now. And out of the tribe of Benjamin, son of the right hand, he's the youngest son of Jacob and the only son born in Canaan, and Rachel's last son, and she died after he was born. Genesis 35 and verse 18. His first name was Benoni, son of my sorrows, that Rachel named him. But Jacob renamed him son of my right hand. 12,000 having been sealed. 7 and verse 9. Meditata. Meditata. That's one of John's favorite sayings. After these sayings I saw. And behold, an oklos. This oklos, it's a lot of people. An oklos polis. An oklos, a crowd great. Too much. Which to number it. And no one was able out of every nation and of the tribes and peoples and of languages. This is what we call a figure of speech. This is a hyperbole. No one was able to number. A hyperbole, a figure of speech. 7 and 9b. Having stood before the throne, the thronos, to throno, and down in the presence of the Lamb, having been clothed. The word having been clothed here means to throw around, to be enrobed, as a king is robed with a robe, okay? In stolos, and this word, we get our English word stole from this, and stole leukos, white. Get the word leukemia from that. And palms in their hands of them. They're in a state of worship and praise. Now, when Jesus rode into Israel on the white donkey on his triumphal entry, they put palm leaves down there before him. 7 and verse 10. And they cried out. And they kept on crying out in a voice, Megale great, saying, and I kept on saying, the salvation of the God of us, to the one sitting upon the throne and to the Lamb. How different this crowd is than the other crowd that called for the rocks to fall upon them. How different is this crowd that says, we have no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. How different is this than the poor Jehovah Witnesses that want to go to the kingdom? They're not going to get into the kingdom yet. Maybe all of them have been killed. Jehovah Witnesses are dying all over the Islamic world today for trying to preach the Jesus of them, which is not the Jesus of the Bible, but they're dying and they wake up in hell, not in sleep, as they say. We have the Mormons. We have the Mormons that have an eschatology also. In Revelation 6 and 1, it says, that man went out. The conqueror went out on a white horse. And a crown was put on him. Joseph Smith said in the 1800s that this was a Mormon prophet. that this was a Mormon apostle that was going to come, and he's going to come back and save America and bring them back to the Constitution. And that's what Glenn Beck's talking about, preaching about all the time. They look and they believe in that white horse prophecy. And they believe. But they're believing in the wrong doctrines. Doctrines mean a lot in the Bible. Doctrine is teaching. Anybody can believe in Jesus. But do you believe in Jesus as your Savior, as the Lord God of heaven? As the Creator of the heavens and the earth? Why, the Muslims believe in Jesus, he is just a man. And the greatest man that ever lived was Muhammad, they say. There was no greater than Muhammad. And Jesus was not him. Muhammad taught Jesus how to pray, according to Islam. Taught Noah how to pray. He's the greatest prayer of all times, the greatest man of all times. That kind of a Jesus won't get you to heaven. The Mormons, Jesus won't get you to heaven. Jehovah's Witness, Jesus won't get you to heaven. Gardner Ted Armstrong and Herbert W. Armstrong, Jesus won't get you to heaven. The Catholic Jesus won't get you to heaven. You've got to believe in that Jesus. That's the only way. The Catholics pray to Mary, don't they? Oh, Mary, Mother of God. Oh, Mary, Mother of God. No, we only have one intercessor between God and man. Islam, they always say, when they speak the name of Muhammad, they always say, peace be upon him, or praise be upon him. May Allah praise him or pray to him. And when they say that, they want Muhammad to be their intercessor. The Islamic sources say that Allah will sit on the throne and Muhammad will be by him judging the people. The Bible says that Jesus will judge the people. Which one of them is blasphemy? Muhammad's people say that Jesus judging the people is blasphemy, that Jesus as Son of God is blasphemy. The worst blasphemy, because we make a man greater than God. We believe in the man Jesus is also the Creator of the heaven and the earth. And they cry out in a voice great, saying, salvation, the only salvation of God, of us, to the one sitting upon the throne, and to the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb. 7 and verse 11. And all the ones, angels, they stood. Third person plural. Pluperfect. They're having stood around the throne. This is a little, it means circle. Kiklo. We used to have a man out here that was a principal. His name was Kuklos. His name in Greek meant circle. And here we have the word Kuklos. The word Galilee means circle also. Around, encircling the throne of the elders, the presbyteron, and to the four living beings. And they fell down, they tripped before the throne upon the faces of them. And they worshiped before the God. They worshiped Jesus. The only way you're ever going to get to heaven is worship Jesus and believe in Him. Repent of your sins. For in grace you're having been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are created unto God's good works. 7 and 12. Logontes. Amen. Hey, eulogia. And saying amen, the blessing, and the glory, and the wisdom, the doxa, kai he sophia, the wisdom, the godly wisdom, and the thanksgiving, eucharistia, the thanksgiving, and the honor, the thime. That means to be careful how you worship, to honor, honorable, and the power, and the exous, and the might, to the God of us, unto the ages of the ages. Amen. We have the word amen a lot of times. Amen comes from the Persian language. And it goes into the Hebrew language. Amen does. And it goes into the Greek language as amen is not translated. And it goes into the English language as amen and what it means to stand up, to prop up. another word goes through all those languages, and that's paradiso, paris. It comes from Persian. It goes into Hebrew. It goes into Greek. It comes into English, and it never is translated. The word paradise is a guarded pleasure park. 7 verse 13 now. Now we're going to have some martyred saints. There are going to be people saved during this period of time. Thousands of people saved during this time. 5 out of every 6 people in the world is going to be killed. The Islamic people that have been converted swear that it is Islam is going to do this. The Bible says that these people are going to be killed by beheading. The mode of execution by Islam is beheading. Islam's eschatology is going to take over the world. Muhammad, at the end of his life, he said, two religions cannot exist in this world. Struggle, kill, and conquer until everyone believes in Islam. Many of the modern, what we call moderate Muslims in the world today, say that Islam is a peaceful religion. It's only peaceful when you surrender. Islam means to surrender, to bow down to become a slave. Unless they come become a slave unto Allah and Muhammad, there is no peace. And he answered and caught up in speech, one out of the elders, saying to me, these ones are the ones having been clothed in the robes white. And they are, it says, from where are they? Who are these people? Where do they come? And the answer is, and I have said to him, Lord of me, you have known, and he told to me, these ones, they are the ones coming out of the tribulation, the great. This is the last part of the tribulation period, the tribulation the great. And as in the days of Noah, those outside of the ark that believed died. Now there are going to be some of them that make it through the tribulation, that go in and inhabit the in their natural bodies the millennial kingdom. The Jehovah Witnesses say, I don't want to go to heaven, I want to go to the kingdom. I don't want to go to the kingdom, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go through this. The Mormons have 7 years of provisions. Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, they have buildings that don't have any windows. They're expecting all this stuff. I want to be caught up. I don't want to go. I'll die first. I mean, whatever. Call me home, Lord, before I see this. But it's getting awful close, I think. These are the ones, they are the ones coming out of the tribulation, the great. Teis Magales. The Thalipsios, the tribulation the great. And they have washed the robes, the solas, the robes of them. And they're whitened, they were made white, them, in the blood of the Lamb. Now, I wrote this many years ago, that some of these will have greater rewards than some of the disobedient saved who lived during the church age. There is much question in my mind, and still is, as to what kind and to what extent these people will be rewarded. But a person must realize that these whom must go through the tribulation period will have a heavier burden to bear. But it must all be remembered that this burden was a chosen burden. They didn't believe before. Christ said, as in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Almost every living being upon the earth has heard of the second coming of Christ, but many will not heed the pleas of God's people today, just like the disobedient must have done in the days of Noah, in 1 Peter 3:17-20. As people saw the coming wrath of God fall upon the earth, Noah was locked in safety in the ark, so many of them called upon God for forgiveness, And in like manner, so shall many call upon the Lord during the tribulation period, but must face the dire circumstances of their disobedience before. 7 and verse 15. Diatoto. Because of this, they are but down in the presence of the throne of the God. And they serve. And this word here is latruousin. They serve. This means menially. This means boot polishers. They serve him day and night in the dwelling place of him. And the one sitting upon the throne, he shall pitch a tent. He shall dwell among them. 7 and verse 16. Not they shall hunger any longer. Down on earth during the tribulation period, there's going to be plenty of hunger. The whole economy of the world is going to be changed by that one on that horse that changes horses from the white horse to the red horse to the black horse to the green horse. The riders of the apocalypse. He's going to completely control all monetary. Islam. Muhammad completely controlled every part of his people's lives. All the Muslims say, we have lots of rules. You people don't know what rules are. Muslims, Muhammad told them how many times to wipe themselves when they went to the bathroom. It's got to be 3, 5, 7. It can't be odd. It cannot be even numbers. He told them which way to urinate and what direction. He told them how to make loves to their wives and wives how to make loves to their husbands. He told them how to eat and what not to eat. He told them how to comb their hair. He told them how to not to shave or when to shave. He told them to pull their hair out from underneath their arms. All of these things. He had complete control of these people. This is Islam. Complete control. Lots of rules. Lots of rules. 5 times a day they're going to pray, and they're going to pray in Arabic. Maybe that most of the Islamic adherents don't even know what they're saying. They're quoting the Quran. Now these people out here that have been controlled and killed and murdered, they shall hunger not any longer. Nor shall they thirst any longer. And know not who they may pisay. And know not shall they fall upon them the sun or any heat. The sun rays will not burn them as it did during the great tribulation period. And while they hunger greatly during the tribulation period, and while they thirst greatly during the tribulation period, many of these saints had starved to death for their faith. Psalm 121, verse 5, Isaiah 49, verse 10 are some of the cross references to this. 7 and 17. God's going to take care of those. Because the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb, the one, up in the middle of the throne, in the middle of that throne. What does that mean, in the middle of the throne? It's on the main throne in heaven. Upon that throne of glass, that glassy crystal piece of diamond pavement down below there that reflects all his glory. He shall shepherd them. Poimene. That means he'll take care of them. He'll guide them. He'll feed them. He'll doctor them. And he shall lead them. Hodegio. Hodegio. He shall lead them upon the life fountains, peges, fountains of living waters. Fountains of waters. And she shall wipe away each and every tear. The God, he shall wipe away each and every tear out of the eyes of them. That's a great story. We went from heaven to earth, and we see what's going to happen on the earth. And then parenthetically, we go to heaven and see what's happening to these martyred saints here. By the way, when you die, in Jesus, you get to go right straight to paradise. You get to go right straight to heaven. If you're an Islamic believer, if you die, naturally, you get to go to hell. You're going to be resurrected naked. The only person that's going to be resurrected, according to Muhammad, is Muhammad with clothes on. He's going to have a green robe on and a green turban. And he will walk across the flames of fire and all these other ones down there screaming for him to be their intercessor. And he walks up and sits down by the throne of Allah to judge all the people. The only way that you can get to heaven, according to Islam, and bypass hell, is to die in war for Allah, or to die as a suicide bomber, or to die as a martyr. And then, if you're a man, you get to go straight to heaven, paradise. You get 72 virgins to wait on you. And every day they're virgins. If you deflower them one day, they're virgins the next day. And you will have, you will become the intercessor for 70 of your family. You get to take them into heaven. You get to be their savior. Now, the Muslims say that there's no intercessor, that Jesus, you know, is the intercessor. The only one intercessor is Muhammad and these all of these Muslim martyrs that have died in the service of Allah. You can believe what you want. God gives you that choice. But I'll believe the Bible. The Bible is a magnificent book from Genesis through Revelation. What Genesis said is revealed and fulfilled in the book of Revelation. The Lord saw His church in Genesis, the 9th chapter, and the Gentiles would be in the tents of Shem carrying out the gospel during this age today. The Bible saw the king of Israel on the throne, the son of Judah, that not a descendant would depart, would fail until Shiloh comes. Jesus is our God and Savior. He is on the throne today. If you want to be saved, you're going to have to believe in Jesus and ask Him to save your soul because you believe in Him. Do you believe that Jesus is God the Son, that He is Jehovah the Old Testament promised? Jehovah means He who shall become. John 1:1, the oldest verse in historically in the Bible, says, in the beginning kept on being the Jehovah. And the Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because Jehovah kept on being God. John 1:14 says, Kaiho Logos Sarx Agenito, and the Word, the Jehovah, flesh He became and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:18 says, for no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, that one being inseparably in the bosom of the Father, that one has let Himself out and become our Savior. That's our Savior. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. If there's one out here heard this that don't know You, Father, I pray that You convict them with Your Spirit. Bring them to You. Bring them unto the saving knowledge. The only salvation. Hol Soterion. The only Savior we have in this world. The only salvation in the world. It's not any place else. It's with You, Lord, in Your truth. The only one real Jesus. Father, thank You for Your blessing and Your word tonight. Help it go out all over the world and help it to glorify You. And help people learn. Forgive us for your failure. We live in a precarious time, Father. Help us to look up, for our redemption draws nigh. Help us to be the kind of people that You want us to be. Guide us, convict us, lead us. Spank us when we need it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.